Welcome to the History Explorer Meet Our Museum podcast. In this month's episode, we're going to speak with archivist Allison Oswald, who explains the history of the shopping cart, an everyday object you might not consider all that historical. As with any invention, however, the story behind it is much more interesting than it may appear. Listen in as Allison discusses the history behind the invention of the shopping cart.
My name is Allison Oswald, and I'm an archivist.
So, Allison, why don't you tell us a little bit about the history of the shopping cart?
Sure. Well, the invention of the shopping cart is, like so many stories, made up of individuals, really interesting individuals, as well as big manufacturing and industry. But it really starts with two people who are contemporaries of each other and working really in the middle of the country in the United States, Sylvan Goldman and Orla Watson. And Sylvan Goldman is credited with inventing the first shopping cart in April of 1939. And we're fortunate here at the museum to have Goldman's shopping cart. It's actually on display right now, as well as Orla Watson's telescoping shopping cart. So Goldman and Watson are contemporaries of each other. But yet, at the same time, they're very different. I mean, Goldman is working in the grocery industry. He's a grocer himself in Oklahoma. And Watson is a machinist, a trained machinist, who's working in Kansas City, Missouri. And they're both working on these carts and that kind of thing and other sorts of what I would call today hand trucks and other kinds of things. And in about the sort of late 1940s, Watson comes up with this idea to create a telescoping shopping cart, something that is hinged, really, and it's sort of moves inward and allows the baskets to telescope in a way that they take up less space on a store floor and that kind of thing. So he does that and decides that he's going to patent this, which he ultimately does in August of 49. But at the same time, Goldman is also concurrently working on something very similar and sort of contests it. And that's where Goldman and Watson's lives intersect, because there's patent litigation that's going to ensue. And so they go into court to sort of battle this out. And ultimately, Watson's prior patent, his prior art, is upheld in court because he had very substantial documentation to prove his invention. And those are the materials that we were able to collect here in the Archive Center. And when you look at those materials, you really get a sense of how well documented Watson was doing with his work. He was making sure that things were being witnessed, that they were being signed. He has substantial correspondence and other things that really helped him prove his case in court. And Goldman ultimately settles with Watson and allows this to sort of fade away, and then he gets sort of the royalty payment, you know, per cart made.
So Goldman was the grocer.
He was a grocer, correct.
So do you think that has a lot to do with the fact that he just kind of invented this to solve a problem in his grocery store versus someone that was...
I think Goldman definitely, he was analyzing what was going on in the grocery store in Oklahoma, and he was seeing that, people were sort of having difficulty, maneuvering or handling sort of a handheld basket. And essentially what Goldman did was he took a handheld baskets, the small ones that we use today, and he placed them atop a folding chair and then had caster wheels put on the bottom to move it around. So it's essentially two small baskets stacked on top of each other. But his cart did not collapse or telescope. It had to have the baskets taken off. It had to be folded up. So it wasn't terribly efficient, whereas Watson's actually did fit into each other. But Goldman, he's doing some analysis. He's seeing what's going on. And this invention is something that's sort of happening in a time period. You know, we're looking at a post-World War II story, really. You have suburbs that are popping up. There's a huge housing boom. There's a need for larger grocery stores, for refrigeration's coming into the home. People can go out and they can buy more groceries. and they're going to bring them home. But when they go to the store, they want to fill the basket up, and it was just wasn't working. So the cart becomes very important. And it really is the ultimate self-serve vehicle.
Right.
I mean, it really is, even today. I mean, it's just, you know.
How did people react to these carts at first? It's probably something they hadn't seen before.
No,
right?
They didn't. And I took Goldman, I think, and Watson as well, in trying to introduce them into the stores, actually hiring people to push them around, to sort of say, look, my hands are free. I have children with me, you know, I can easily get the goods off the shelf and that kind of thing. So yes, there was a real need to get the word out and then stage people, you know, actually in grocery stores. So.
And when you say telescoping, that you mean like the ones that we see today, they kind of go
in? They nest and fit into each other, correct.
So did Watson, did he originally create something like Goldman's at first, something that was just a cart?
Well, his cart originally was two baskets, one on top of the other, but they always had the hinged aspect of it that went in, and it was ultimately patented that way, as a store basket. You know, Watson was a machinist, so he was doing, you know, other things as well. He had a strong interest in valves, and he had a number of other patents to his name. But this is the one that that really sort of, you know, went the furthest.
Yeah,
it came to be. It was manufactured.
Right. Yeah. Is he credited? Is he known as the inventor?
No,
of the grocery
cart? Think both Goldman and Watson work in relative anonymity.
Yeah.
I think this is a really good story of where people, you know, we use these things every day, but they really don't know the true story behind it. And they're both to be credited. Goldman for coming up with the idea of creating this self-serve vehicle to push around the store, and then Watson for making it more efficient, you know, for giving the store more floor space by telescoping them, by nesting them.
Right.
Nesting was a big word that both of them used.
I used to be a cart boy at a grocery store in Western New York.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I used to go out
and corral them.
Is that what they would call it?
Yeah, I would say corral them, and that's really interesting kind of idea, this sort of cart retrieval. And sort of issue of sort of abandoned shopping carts and things. Because when you start getting into all of this, talking about shopping carts and things, you find that different stores have sort of different policies about how you can maybe get them out of the shopping parking lot area, or you can't, or you need to use a coin to retrieve them, or, there are a lot of abandoned carts.
Yeah,
when you think about it,
sometimes.
We see shopping carts everywhere, and they become repurposed for so many things. Whether it's somebody who's perhaps homeless pushing their stuff around, or they're used, hold materials, perhaps even in a factory floor, and be easily pushed around because they can actually handle a lot of weight.
That's interesting that something, this kind of quirky invention that kind of came out of many different factors, including post-World War II and consumerism and rise of suburbia, has kind of pervaded all these different areas of different types of society.
And the carts too come in so many different typologies now. They're either nickel chrome plated or whatever.
Yeah.
They're plastic. They're small. They're large. They're mid-size. You can put a child in them now. You couldn't previously do that. Goldman too introduced this idea of the seat for the child. So he's even after Watson's telescoping cart, and is taking off and that kind of thing. He's still continuing to, I think, add and refine things to the cart, like the child seat. And I noticed recently when I was shopping with my children that shopping carts have now cup holders.
Yes.
So that you can put a drink, right? And they also have a spot for a handheld scanner. At least they do at my local grocery store. So this idea that you go out, you scan your own groceries, the barcode, you put it in the cart and bag it, and sort of to make your trip perhaps a little faster, you don't have to put it all up on the conveyor belt. But the cart is actually designed to handle both things.
Yeah, you said it's the ultimate self-serve.
It is. It is the ultimate self-serve vehicle. It really is. And they're ubiquitous. They're just everywhere.
Yeah. And what did people do before the carts were invented? What did they do with their groceries?
Well, From what I have been able to see in terms of Watson's collection here is they were using small handheld baskets, the kind that we would pick up today when we enter the door when we're just trying to get maybe one or two items to carry. But they were never affixed to something that would roll or to be pushed.
Right. And then once people started buying more groceries.
Correct. And they needed to bring them home. And now shopping carts are, some of them are just huge.
Yeah.
For some of the big box stores because, you know, we're consuming more or we're encouraged to buy more, you know, and fill the cart up kind of idea. So you see a little bit more of that.
So do you think it's the carts are bigger because people need more space to buy things, or they're saying, look at this, look how much room you have, you can buy
more. I think it's, psychology is to fill it up. But you can, today, you can buy shopping carts in all different types of sizes and colors and materials for that matter. So the typology is pretty wide.
What can the development of the shopping cart and this story teach students about American history that they might not be learning about in their textbooks?
Well, I mean, it's such a huge part of sort of the post-World War II story. You know, it's a response to the boom in the population and in the suburbs. So it's kind of all tied, you know, kind of tied to that. And, you know, there's just such a need, you know, coming out of people and sort of the rise of the grocery store, for that matter. And that the grocery store is no longer really this sort of corner Ma and Pa kind of outfit. It's a bigger store. Square footage is starting to increase. How are you going to navigate that kind of square footage and needing a cart to put it in, to push it around, you know, for doing that? And it's also, you know, I guess in the larger narrative, it's a story of manufacturing and industry and materials and that kind of thing, because Watson certainly isn't able to make the cart to such quality standards, because he had a small company, the Western Machine Company. So he contracts with other people, and so you get within this larger framework, you start to see where other players and partners are starting to come in and take an active role, and he's assigning the patent, which he has a right to do as an inventor. But, I mean, it's certainly something we all use, and we certainly can identify with it. And I think it's always nice to know that, you know, kind of where this comes from. It comes from a very personal story from these two guys in the middle of the country, sort of just, you know, seeing a problem and solving it.
That was archivist Allison Oswald talking about the history of the shopping cart. For the History Explorer Meet Our Museum podcast, this is Matt Ringelstetter. Join us again next month as we take a look at what goes on behind the scenes here at the National Museum of American History. Funding provided by a grant from the Verizon Thinkfinity Foundation. Creative Commons music from Lee Rosevere. To hear more, go to freemusicarchive.org.